Welcome to the 2012 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration, and I'm pleased to welcome you to another great session, Ready, Set, Roll, E-Commerce Video Best Practices and Trends. E-commerce videos are increasingly playing a key role in driving consumer purchase decisions. In fact, study after study shows that consumers who view online videos are more likely to buy than those who don't. But many cross-channel retailers and e-tailers have yet to tip their toes into the e-commerce video pond. In this lively session, Justin Foster, founder of the Video Commerce Consortium and co-founder of LiveClicker, a video commerce solution provider, will guide viewers through best practices around adding video to websites, product pages, and landing pages. Then, Kevin Ertel, CMO of OnlineChoose.com and a Retail Online Integration Advisory Board member, will share information around how his company has achieved success with online videos. By the end of this presentation, I'm sure you'll learn how e-commerce videos can increase brand engagement and conversion rates, how they can lower product return rates and reduce shopping cart abandonment, how they can improve search engine rankings, when to use videos on your site and when not to, emerging video e-commerce trends, and so much more. Before we get started, let me point out a few tips about how to make the most of today's presentation. First, if you have any technical difficulties and are viewing this webcast as part of a live day, please visit us in the information booth to get live help. If you're viewing on demand, please shoot us an email at virtualshowinfo@napco.com and someone will get right back to you. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the widgets and bells and whistles on the console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. You can even tweet from the console. Lastly, if you leave the session at any time or would like to view it again later, please, you can access the entire presentation from the auditorium in the Retail Marketing Virtual Show on-demand environment, which will be open for 3 months beginning on Monday, April 23rd. Without further ado, please welcome Justin Foster.
Great. Thank you so much, Melissa. We're excited to be here today to share some best practices and trends around using video in retail. We're going to go ahead and give just a quick, more detailed introduction to ourselves. We'll start with Kevin Ertel, a CMO from OnlineChoose.com. I imagine most listeners here are most interested in what Kevin has to say today. So, Kevin, would you mind just sharing a brief introduction of yourself for everyone?
Sure. Thanks, Justin. So I'm Chief Marketing Officer at OnlineChoose.com. I've been at OnlineChoose for a little bit over a year. I've actually been a retailer for 27 years. Started out in the stores and worked my way up, eventually getting into e-commerce in 1997. And I've been doing e-commerce at places like TowerRecords.com, where I ran TowerRecords.com, and then moved on to run Borders.com. Spent some time also at 4C Results with running the retail strategy there.
Great. Thanks very much. And I'll provide a quick overview of myself as well. So I am Justin Foster, a co-founder and VP of Market Development at LiveClicker, and I'm also the founder of a group called the Video Commerce Consortium, which is the industry's largest group of retail and brand marketing professionals that come together online to learn about advancing the use of video in e-commerce. We have a blog at video-commerce.org, as well as a members-only forum that you can sign up for there. And I'm also a co-founder of LiveClicker, which is a video commerce solutions provider. Basically, what that means is that the company helps retailers and e-commerce sites automate the production of their video content, publish that video content to the website, distribute those videos across the web, whether it's to YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and then measure the results of those videos and optimize their performance. So I promise this isn't going to be a big LiveClicker plug. No one likes to hear that in these presentations, but I will get my one LiveClicker slide in there. I would like to share with everyone else as well, there is an event coming up August 9th and 10th called the Video Commerce Summit. It's the industry's largest event, completely devoted to the use of video in e-commerce. It's going to be in San Francisco, California this year. You can learn more by going to LiveClicker.com. So we'll open up today, and I'll share the state of video commerce today, the state of video in e-commerce. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some lessons learned, both in 2011 and then as we are now almost halfway into 2012 now, into Q2. We'll talk about creating your own video content, some best practices around length of videos, as well as some best practices around sharing videos and the importance of mobile and video. And as Melissa mentioned as well at the beginning, we will share some strategies around using video SEO or using video to optimize search results. Then we'll proceed into a discussion with Kevin and myself. We have several questions for Kevin. Kevin will be sort of popping in through the slides as well as we go through some of these best practices. So to just set the stage, clearly video is a trend that marketers are confident in. We see from a study that was conducted by Forrester Research in August of 2011 that marketers are very confident in online video. In fact, the only two trends that marketers are more confident in over the coming 3 years are created social media as well as mobile marketing. So this is really a big change over even just a couple of years ago when very few online retailers and e-commerce sites were producing video content, beginning to start their own video programs and leveraging video across their websites. We also see on the advertising side that online video and mobile video is really growing dramatically, especially when compared to total TV spend. So this is from the Interactive Advertising Bureau published by eMarketer. What we really see in the beginning of 2012 is that the percentage of total video spend that is going online as compared to offline television is doubling. So this is definitely a trend that marketers are taking note of. And then as we look at ad spending growth among marketers over the next coming few years, we see even in 2012, video is growing twice as fast as the next closest category, which is sponsorships at 27%. And, of course, in retail, we see the trend of viewing videos is increasing steadily. In fact, as we look over the course of 2011, the average number of video views for retail sites more than doubled over the course of the year, and we see that trend continuing to accelerate in 2012. Did have a slight dip in February just due to normal seasonality, and back up again in March. We expect that this trend will continue throughout the year. We may see another doubling of video viewing amongst the average retailers in this year as well. All right, so let's talk about some of the things that you can do to be successful with video. First, we found that the retailers who were most successful with video were creating their own videos. And when you think about it, this can make sense because no one can really share your story as well as you can. When you're talking about your brand, you're really seeking to connect with your shoppers. Having someone that is from your brand, either an expert in your product or is able to communicate more closely and personally with your audience, we see that that was a very successful technique that a lot of retailers were using. And again, it is really about this idea of building trust. Videos that are most successful, at least on e-commerce sites, are generally used on the product detail page, and they're used to tip the mind of the shopper to actually buy the product. So it's when people have already read through all of the product descriptions, they've looked at the different views of the product, maybe they've even comparison shopped the product. But at the end of the day, a video is going to provide that extra little bit of incentive to get someone to actually make a purchase. I'm curious, Kevin, do you see this as well? Do you see like a lot of videos on onlineshoes.com being used on the product pages, or where's the real focus of your program? What do you think about that statement that on a retail site, product page video is kind of where it's at right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's our primary spot for them, and we try to get as many products to have videos as possible because it's a better way to learn more about the product. You get to see it from different angles, hear a little bit about it. And, you know, if you're lazy and don't want to read, then that saves you the trouble of that, too. So we find them to be particularly effective on the product page.
I see. And what are your thoughts about, producing your own videos as opposed to, say, using videos that you acquire from vendors or from partners? Do you see a real difference in terms of how those videos perform, or do you think that one type of video is better than another in certain circumstances?
Well, I think in general we found that any video is better than no video, but then we also find that our videos in many cases are better than what a brand would produce for us, although sometimes brands have produced some very good videos for us. So we have a mix on the site, and we'll use what we can to try to get as much coverage as we can.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. There's also this idea about, the industry is just getting more competitive today. We've obviously got Amazon out there, and Amazon is, in a lot of different categories in online retail. And then also, we have this idea of comparison shopping is just so prevalent today, where really someone is just one click away or one slide away from finding out what the price is of their item compared to, all of the other websites that may be offering the same exact item for sale. And really this idea of sort of having your own content is a way of differentiating the experience, the shopping experience, we see as something that is really driving a lot of retailers to embrace video. Do you think that that characterization is true at onlineshoes.com, Kevin, or What are your thoughts about that?
As far as the differentiation, is that what you mean?
Yeah, using video as a way to actually provide differentiated content.
Yeah, I think so. And for us, it's a chance to introduce our brand and have a little bit of familiarity. At least in our case, we're a brand that we're a company that came from neighborhood shoe stores, and we kind of built our way up and became this big website now. And
right.
You know, we've lost a little bit of that in going from a neighborhood shoe store, obviously, to a website. You lose a little bit of that direct contact, and so having some of our people appear in videos allows us to have some of that familiarity that is a very good tie to the heritage that is a key part of our brand.
That's great. Thank you. We do see that amongst the top-performing videos, we ran an analysis earlier at the end of 2011, actually, across 1,500 videos across different verticals in retail for which we had conversion rate data available, that being someone that watched a video that went on to make a purchase. And we found that the videos with the highest conversion rates, 71% of those top converting videos were created directly by the site that was offering the product for sale. So, again, to Kevin's comment that you take video where you can get it, certainly some of the top converting videos were not produced by the site that's selling the products, but we did just see an overall trend that I thought I would share with the audience today.
I think that's true for us too, Justin. You know, just because I said we take them when we can get them, I think ours are generally better and do a better job.
Great. Well, we have an example video here, and just this is an online shoes video example. A couple of other highlights that I wanted to mention about this video and just some general best practices when you're featuring videos on your website or publishing them across the web. We'll talk in just a moment about the length of video, but in this case, we have a video that's fairly short, about 30 seconds, and the video is clearly an onlineshoes.com video, meaning that there's an opening bumper at the beginning of the video showing onlineshoes.com. The video ends with a closing sort of outro bumper featuring onlineshoes.com. The player is branded onlineshoes.com. This type of video, I would consider this type of video to be a standard product-oriented video. It has a blown-out white background, consistent music across the various videos that are featured on the site. And then also, it may be a little bit tough to see in your console here, but onlineshoes.com is also making use of interactive video technology, meaning that if there's someone that's watching a video and they may not be on your product page, maybe they're on Facebook, for example, you can have these interactive links within the video player, or even we see in the upper left-hand corner of this video a visualization of the product so that you can actually sort of shop for the product within the video player itself. Kevin, I'm wondering if you can maybe share any of your thoughts about this format of video, or you know, why this kind of format of video was chosen and is being produced by onlineshoes.com.
Well, it's, you know, it's simple. It gets right to the point. It talks about the product. The white background, actually, we really came to because we wanted the video to be available and appear in the same spot on the page where you can look at different images of the product. And
right.
We found that since the page has a white background and our product images have a white background, keeping that consistent made the experience for the consumer much clearer and cleaner. We had some before that weren't white background, and it made it kind of a disconnect. It seemed a little bit jarring when you kind of jumped into it. So that has worked well, and the short, quick video gets right to the point, works well too. It keeps people's attention.
Got it. So it was more about preserving a consistent user experience on the site as opposed to A/B testing, like a black background versus a white background versus, you know, outdoor shots.
Yeah, I mean, we have some different ones that do those types of scenarios, but for the base product video, that is really, you know, kind of an enhancement of the various images we look at. It was the cleanest, smoothest experience that didn't have anything jarring about it.
Great, thank you. Okay, so we've talked about creating your own videos now. Another common question that a lot of e-commerce sites have is, how long should my videos be? And we recently ran this analysis that I mentioned a moment ago where we analyzed these 1,500 videos for which we had conversion data available. We looked at the data based on conversion rate, and we divided that data set into quartiles to see the average length of the top converting videos and how, as videos got longer, they became more or less effective at getting someone to purchase. Now, I'll share this data with the caveat that, first of all, 1,500 videos, while it's a fairly large sample, it's not an enormous sample. The other thing that I'll mention here is that simply because we did observe that the average video length, or the median length, was 23 seconds for the top converting segment, which is those 0 to 30 seconds, that certain products are going to require different lengths of video. So some products may be very simple. For example, if you're a jeweler and you need to show a ring on someone's finger or just a ring on a turnstile, you may not need to have a host in the video provide a detailed explanation of that product. On the other hand, if you're a consumer electronics retailer, you may have a product that has hundreds of features, and shoppers want to understand in detail what those features are. So take the data with a little bit of a grain of salt, but we did observe that on the whole of it, that shorter videos did actually convert better than longer videos. We can take a little bit more of a granular view at the data here as well. So we do see that there are some spikes. For example, looking at the conversion rate at the 3 minutes in, and then see another spike at the 4 minute, 30 second to 5 minute range. However, the 87% of these videos in this sample were under 3 minutes long. So you have to also, again, look at that sample size and see that some of those trends that we see maybe in the longer videos could be an anomaly in the data. But again, we do see a directional indicator here showing that generally shorter videos perform better. Kevin, I'm curious what you think about this. Have you observed this trend of producing shorter videos working better, or do you try to create videos of a certain length for performance reasons, or what are your thoughts about best practices in video length?
Well, I mean, we did a lot of analysis and watching when, you know, how long people stuck with the video, and we certainly saw people dropping out after a minute pretty substantially. I mean, if we have a longer video, it sort of falls off a cliff. To me, though, I think one of the things, if you force yourself to make shorter videos, you also force yourself to get good, meaty content in there quickly because you only have so much time.
Right.
And I think that probably is part of the driver for why shorter videos are better anyways, because they're not wasting any time. They're getting right to the heart of what is most meaningful to consumers, and they can get the information quickly and without a lot of fluff. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Okay. So now let's talk about our third lesson for the day, which is share, share, share. Make sure that your videos can be shared. I want to share just a quick overview here of video sharing trends in retail. This was a sample of 7,000 videos stored in LiveClicker across LiveClicker client base. And what we saw was that 23% of all the sharing activity occurred in the top 1% of videos. And this may not be surprising, especially those of us that are considering making a viral type of content. What we found, though, when we looked at those videos, that top 1%, was that generally that top 1% of videos were of niche products, or those videos made use of humor or emotionally charged content in order to drive up the viewing of those videos. The tactic can be difficult, and we've seen a lot of e-commerce sites really struggle to replicate that tactic across their entire product line. And I have actually seen what I think are some examples of retailers that are misguided and think that their videos need to be funny in order for someone to actually purchase a product. And that is really, I think, you know, the key driver that we see out there is that unlike, you know, maybe media companies that need to drive audience, or retail and e-commerce sites generally were trying to drive sales. And so that's why I think it's important to highlight that while we have the top 5% of the videos accounting for 52% of all the sharing activity, as we take a look at that bottom 48%, kind of the long tail videos, those are your standard bread and butter product videos, just talking about the product, you know, not necessarily something that's funny or anything that is going to make someone cry at the end of watching the video. But that's almost 50% of all the shares coming from just those bread and butter videos. And I think that the thing that's important to note there is that people that are sharing those bread and butter product videos, they're probably sharing those videos for different reasons. Whereas if you have a really funny video, you may forward that along to your friend because the video is funny. But if you're just sharing a bread and butter product video, you may be forwarding that along because you're actually considering buying a product and want to hear from your friends about what they think about the product. So again, we see these viral, emotionally charged videos. And then we see sort of the standard product videos. There is this segment here that I call brand building and credibility oriented videos. These are sometimes how-to videos, or perhaps these are cross-selling videos, or they're more awareness oriented videos. We do see when we look at the data that those how-to videos are generally shared more often than the standard product videos, but they're not shared as often as the more humorous or the viral videos. Kevin, what do you think about this? When you take a look at this graph, what does this tell you, or does this resonate with your experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. Some of the ones that we've had shared did pretty well. I guess we're probably in the build brand and credibility side. You know, we have had some events here at Green Lake locally in Seattle where we had some barefoot running demonstration with some different New Balance. And that one did pretty well. It got shared around. We've had some other ones where we, rather than talk about a specific product, we talk about a set of categories, maybe categories of sandals and what you wear them with. So that, I suppose that's a little bit on the how-to, and those got shared pretty well. And then I'd say, yeah, I think you're right. A lot of the bulk of the others were product videos that got shared. Some, not a lot, but collectively it's quite a few.
That's great. Thanks. So we'll take a look now at a couple of traits of top shared implementations, and here we're taking a look at a product detail page. The first thing that I want to point out about this specific example is that the video player actually renders directly on the product detail page, and the player itself is above the fold of this page. In addition to that, we have sort of a tabbed approach here. If you look closely, you can see there are two tabs above the video. One says video, and the other says images. Or I think it says images. It looks very small on my screen. It might say photos. But when this product page renders, the video actually displays by default. And we see that when video displays by default, even usurping that standard product hero shot, play rates on that product detail page between 25 to 45%, as opposed to taking and putting like a small icon underneath the fold on the page. Or just using a small text link that might be hard to find on the page, it's not uncommon to see play rates of 0 to 2% on that type of implementation. So presentation really does matter. And if you want people to share your video content, you need to make sure that they can find your video content in the first place. So we talked about the tab approach. The other thing I want to mention here is there is a share button that is on the player, and that really comes back to the fact that you've got this 48% of these videos that are your bread and butter, plain vanilla videos, but if you don't expose an option to share those videos, then it's going to be difficult for people to do that. So as we move further along in the video player, we see that there are several options for sharing. We can share this video via email. We can take this video and we can post it to Facebook. There are options to share this video to Twitter, and we can do that all without leaving the product detail page. So the next lesson is to go mobile, and we recently took a look at how many total video plays are coming from mobile devices, and I guess the high-level takeaway for the audience is that while comparatively fewer people are watching videos on mobile devices, this is a very fast-growing segment of video viewers. In fact, as we look year over year, February 2011 to February 2012, we see that in February 2011, we only had 1.6% of all plays came from mobile devices, and that has almost quadrupled in February of 2012. So year over year, we see that mobile segment is growing incredibly quickly. If the iPad is counted in the mobile category, and some retailers will look at iPad as its own separate category or will look at a tablet category, we do see that those plays are really coming from the iPad and compared to all other smartphones. So this is iPhone, Android devices, Blackberries. We do see that that iPad is more than three quarters of all the plays that we're seeing when counted in the mobile category are coming from the iPad. So what that means for commerce site is you have to make sure that your videos can be viewed on the iPad. We'll talk about HTML5 in just a moment, but it is going to be very important on the technical side to make sure that your videos can play on that device. Kevin, I'm curious, do you see the tablet category is really important for onlineshoes.com, or have you done any sort of focus research or looked at the various mobile devices or the mobile shoppers on your site?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, since September of last year, about 3% of our traffic was tablets, another 3% was smartphones, somewhere in there. tablets are now 7.5% of the traffic, and smartphones
wow.
even are 6.6. So it's grown massively in those 6 months, and we saw a huge, huge jump right after Christmas. So you know, clearly a lot of people got tablets for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious because I actually don't know the answer to this, but when I look at this data and I see, I think you said 7.6% for the tablets
seven and
right
half,
now?
Yep, 7.5.
7.5.
Yep.
And then you said 6% for smartphones?
6.6, yep.
6.6. So those numbers are much closer than what we see in this pie chart where we have the iPad as, you know, a really dominant force kind of in, when compared against all the other smartphones. I don't know the answer to this, but do you have any speculative guess about why more people may be watching videos on the iPad compared to the smartphones?
Well, it's a bigger screen, would be my guess.
Yeah,
obviously, the iPad's easier to shop with, so
right.
I think that's probably a huge part of it.
Makes sense. The iPad is growing very quickly. We had 3 million iPads sold, the iPad 3, or the new iPad. We can't say the iPad 3. And Apple had a record quarter again in Q1 of 2012. And in a few weeks here, we'll know what Apple's Q2 results are. But really, when it comes to supporting the iPad, this is what you need to know. You have to support HTML5 video because none of the iOS devices, whether it's iPhone, iPod Touch, or iPad, are capable of playing Flash. Adobe has already announced they're going to stop development of the Flash platform for mobile devices, and they will embrace HTML5. So this is really important because most folks today are still just publishing their videos using Flash, and what that means is if you're on a tablet or an iOS smartphone or the iPod, that they're not going to be able to see your video. And really, this is just table stakes at this point. If you want to reach those shoppers, you need to be publishing HTML5 video. I believe Online Shoes is that right, Kevin?
Yep. As you know, we're using Live Clicker, so we're working through all that and doing the conversions there.
Yep. Yep. Thanks for the plug. Appreciate that.
My pleasure.
All right. All right. So the next lesson 5, is to use video sitemaps. And video sitemaps are really critical when it comes to enabling your videos to show up in search. Now, if you want to just do a quick, simple test to see if you're currently using video sitemaps for your site, you can go to google.com, you can click on the videos tab, and you can type site:, and then your domain name. If you are using Google Video Sitemaps, you will see a list of all your videos populate right here in Google Video. If you don't see any of your videos, then that means that no one that searches on Google.com, not Google Video, but the main Google search engine, is not going to be, they're not going to be able to see a thumbnail of your video in those search results. Now, it's worthy of mentioning that just because you do use video sitemaps doesn't guarantee that your videos will show up in the blended search on Google, but if you don't use video sitemaps, then your videos will not show up in those blended search results for your own website. So in this example that we see here, we see that Lowe's is not using video sitemaps, even though they do have a lot of videos on their website. None of the videos are showing up there, as opposed to if we look at, this is bedbathandbeyond.com, they have 856 videos, they are all listed right in Google Video Sitemaps right there, so you can just use the Google Webmaster Tools to create a video sitemap submission. You can work with a vendor like LiveClicker, and there are others that can help manage the process of submitting and keeping your video sitemaps up to date. And here we see just a generic query on a product name. We have two different video results that show up here in those search results. Kevin, I'm curious, you know, has video search been meaningful for onlineshoes.com, or have you observed any kind of lift from video SEO? And what would you advise others to do to maximize the capability of video in search?
Well, we've definitely seen a lot more on that front. Mostly after we changed based on SEO advice and working with LiveClicker, we changed our domain to be videos.onlineshoes.com instead of prior to that we had like a slash something video. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't working so well SEO-wise. Once we changed the domain around like that, it started popping up a lot better for us. And then the other thing I'd say is, we've been testing video in the search results for Bing, and on Bing we actually can show a brand video for, you know, just with our link, and that's been going really well. It's doing really well. So You know, Bing's not Google at this point, but there's a decent amount of traffic there, and having video in the search results has been a good thing.
Yeah. What do you think about YouTube? I mean, there's this debate in the industry about whether it is smart for e-commerce sites to push their videos out to YouTube. The argument against it says that if you push your videos to YouTube and you have a video thumbnail that shows in the search results page on Google when someone searches for a keyword, that you're taking that traffic that would normally go to your site and you're pushing that traffic out to YouTube, where the viewer can find all other random, you know, collection of random videos of cats playing jingle bells on the piano and, you know, all of these non-shopping types of videos. You know, the argument for it says that it's better to have someone watch your video, whether it's on your site or on YouTube. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I understand both points. We certainly have our stuff out there. I think if you're watching the video on YouTube, you can get to the product page from there. So if you're really interested in the product, you will come in and see it. There's some pretty good advantages where, you know, the flip side of that is true, too. Our videos start showing up when they're watching you know, a video from the brand maybe or something like that. So it's a way to get ourselves out there, get better impressions and exposure to our brand. So, you know, I think net, it's probably a good positive for us, and it's a good way to get out there.
That's it's interesting to hear you say that. I would say we actually agree with that point of view. And there are some techniques, as Kevin mentioned. If you're pushing your videos out to YouTube, you should both publish a sitemap for your site and push your video to YouTube. You'll maximize the chances that at least one of those videos will show up in the universal search results in Google. And if you're participating in something called the Promoted Videos Program on YouTube, there's an option to have click-to-buy links in YouTube where you can actually link from your video on YouTube back to your website. There are, of course, more elaborate options. You can have branded channels on YouTube as well to try to minimize some of the advertising, third-party advertising you see on YouTube, but those can be also quite expensive. Okay, so here we can see an example of how not to do video on YouTube. It's worth really mentioning that YouTube is the world's second largest search engine. So, again, that is another reason why it can be important to push your videos out to YouTube, although it still is up for debate as to whether people go to YouTube to actually shop for products. That's a debate that my personal opinion is people don't go to YouTube to shop for products. They go to YouTube to be entertained. There may be a very small portion that go to shop, but again, you do have the second largest search engine there, so your videos won't be discovered if you're not pushing them out to YouTube. But you need to make sure that if you're pushing your videos to YouTube, you don't do things like have vendor branding in your videos. You need to make sure that you're participating in that Promoted Videos program and you have click-to-buy enabled for your videos. Otherwise, you may have third-party advertising served in your video, and that is just about the worst possible result that I think could happen for any retailers, to have your video up there, and then all of a sudden your competitor has their ad show right up in your video. In that particular example, no links to the retail site. Now, this is another example of a video that's been optimized for search, and this is actually on a page that we call a video SEO gallery. In this particular example is Bed Bath & Beyond again. The video is hosted at the bedbathandbeyond.com domain, and we can see that there are some things that are happening around this video to help increase the chances that it will show up in those universal results or anywhere in the Google search results. So I'll share what a couple of those things are right now. We see, for example, first the video is at the bedbathandbeyond.com domain. There's also a description of the video content, and although you cannot see it on this page, there's actually a transcript of everything that the person in the video is talking about. And this is really critical because a lot of people, when they think about video SEO, they're only thinking about those blended search results. But in fact, Google right now is not spidering through your video and listening to the audio and trying to figure out what the keywords are in that video to determine whether it's going to be placed in those universal results. It's still relying primarily on metadata around the video. So you need to place that video in context. There's some other best practices here that you can see on this page. We have one video player on the page. We also have information about the product that's featured in this video on the page. There's metadata around that product. So, again, it's really about that idea of you want to capture those people that are actually looking for the product to see the video rather than just people that are surfing around looking for random information that are going to see the video. All right. So that concludes our formal presentation. We have some questions. Again, everyone here is probably really excited to hear from Kevin. So we do want to take a few minutes here and go through some questions that we have. And our first question is, you know, Kevin, you know, what is the most important tactic you think retailers should know about to create compelling content that drives results? If there was just one thing that you could tell a retailer, what would it be?
Well, can I use two? I think we found kind of a we found two things that have been really particularly effective. One is when we have some sort of expert displaying the product. So whether that's someone internally in our team who really knows the stuff, that's great, and they come across with great credibility. You know, it's not just someone reading a script, but it's someone who really understands the product and what the key components of it are and why they matter. Mm-hmm. That's been great. The other thing we're testing actually is trying to find the right kind of video to do. We seem to think that if we can show the product on figure, you know, in our case it's shoes, so people wearing the shoes is best. And we think that customers resonate best with that. The downside of that is those are much harder to film. They take a lot more time to get done, so we can't do as many of them. So the key is to try to just understand, you know, is what level of showing product is gonna provide a good experience for the customer, number one, but also give us the ability to scale and have as many videos as we can.
Right.
So that's kind of the balance that we're working through. To find the right combo.
If you don't mind, I want to dive a little bit deeper into that, because I do think this issue of scalability is a really important one for a lot of e-commerce sites, especially when you're talking about devoting resources. If you have headcount, you've got a video production person on staff, maybe a couple of them. You know, maybe you've got someone, you know, separate in post, maybe not. But, you know, what are maybe just some very tactical things that you can share with the audience about how you really optimize that production process for scalability? What are, you know, maybe just two or three, you know, just quick pointers?
Well, I mean, we've been doing a number of things. So we almost do an assembly line. If we can be prepped in advance, we can set up the filming, have a bunch of shoes ready, have, you know, someone on camera who can be ready to talk about a number of things. So, you know, planning plays a huge role in kind of being efficient as we can. And then, you know, we have other things we just have to work through as well. You know, if it was something on body and we needed people to change clothes and all that, that's going to take a lot longer. So if it wasn't on body, we could do a lot more videos quicker.
Right.
One other thing that we have to deal with sometimes is we need to use sample products that we can show that we have here. And a lot of times, this is something I learned when I got to the shoe business, but samples come in either left or right, but not both. So that has caused us problems to do on body because we only have one shoe. And so unless we want someone hopping around on the video, which may not be as compelling, then sometimes we're stuck anyways because we just don't even have two shoes. Because, again, a lot of times we film these before the shoes are even on the market.
Right.
We don't have a lot of alternatives.
Hey, you never know. A hopping video might go viral.
Yeah,
it could be a great marketing strategy.
Maybe.
All right. Thank you. So the next question is, you know, more, still along this, you know, same line of thinking around resources, how many people are really required to run an effective e-commerce video program? Do you have to have 5 people on staff devoted to it? Can you have one person that does it part-time? What do you think that magic number is?
Well, I mean, that goes to scale, too, really. You know, we have, at the moment, one person who's fully dedicated to it, and he does the filming, and he does the prep work, and he does the post-editing.
Right.
But he's not on camera, you know, so he still needs to rely on some other people to get in, and we'll bring in, maybe it's an expert from one of our brands who happens to be in the office, or it'll be our buyers or, you know, people around the office. So we always need at least someone to be on camera and someone to be behind the camera.
Right.
And I think that's, I mean, you know, at the bare minimum, I think that's doable, and that's mostly where we are, and we get a lot done. If we wanted to double our output in doing the exact same kind of videos we do now, we would need more people, of course. But
what do you think about this idea of sort of automated video where you basically would take, like, an image of the product on your website, maybe some metadata around that product, like the description or a review, and then kind of try to stitch that together into, like, a slideshow. So it's not actually real video, but you kind of try to make it look like a real video. Do you think that adds value, or what is your thought about that?
Well, I think it's interesting, and we're planning to do some testing on that front because maybe it is. Maybe it does help, you know. And one thing it does, I mentioned earlier in the call here that, video can at least save someone from having to read, you know. So maybe if it is something compelling that you can watch for a second and the key points are come across the screen, maybe that is better than nothing at all. We're planning to do some tests on that soon. So to be continued. I could tell you more later.
Okay, great. Thanks. We did talk about this a little bit earlier, so maybe just to confirm, what this question is really about how you decide, you know, the blend of videos, user-generated, self-created, getting it from your vendors, and your comment was, we just take it wherever we can get it from. Is that really what it is, or is there more of a strategy or thought process that goes around, how you're going to mix and match the user-generated video, self-produced video, and vendor-acquired video?
Our preference is to do our own. But again, you get back to the scale issue. If we can't get there, are there other sources we could get video, and would that be better for our customers and a better experience than nothing at all? So we will look to take those. Sometimes we'll take a video from the brand and replace it later with our own when we have a chance to do that. I think in the end, though, our bias and our preference is to do our own because we're able to further enhance our own brand when we do that. Obviously, when we take a video from a shoe brand, it's going to be their brand and conveying their brand and not ours. And so we definitely want to continue to convey our brand at every possible touch point we can. I think our videos, too, at least for our customers, are a little more directed. They're a little more specific about, key selling points, where sometimes the brand videos can be, more brand-focused, a little fluffier.
Right. Well, do you think maybe sometimes also a little bit more promotional?
Yeah, that's what I mean by that, for them, for the brand, as opposed to online shoes or that particular shoe.
Right. Okay. Well, we did speak as well a little bit about length of video, and what I heard you say was that you've seen that after about a minute in the videos, you see a lot of people drop off. Is that your rule of thumb to try to keep them to a minute or less?
Yeah, generally. I mean, product videos for sure. There might be other videos we do that'll go a little bit longer. They're more content-oriented. We did a thing recently where we went on site to New Balance and interviewed some of their designers and that kind of thing, and had some just really good, in-depth, interesting, engaging content. And those went longer because they were really interesting and they had a good story to them.
Right. That's interesting. So thinking more broadly now, as you look at the video space, what gets you the most excited about this space? And then on the flip side, what do you think some of the biggest challenges are in this space that still need to be overcome?
I think it is kind of the mobile thing, particularly the tablets. I think there's a lot of opportunity to make good use of video on tablets. Imagine people that are sitting on their couch and they're browsing and they're kind of shopping to be entertained. And video, if you're shopping and looking to be entertained at the same time, is a really great solution for that. And I think we have some good opportunities to engage with people there, really further our brand there. So I think that's exciting, and just the tablet world in general, there's so much going on there. And that's for us as a pure play. I can think back to my days when I was a multi-channel, and I can think, wow, there's huge opportunity with tablet there, too, in stores, where you have a chance to demo product when people are standing in front of it. I think there's huge, huge opportunities there. And I know some people are starting to do that. I think there'll be more and more and more of that. So that is pretty exciting. As far as the challenges, it is, scaling, getting enough videos everywhere and having that be good quality content that is the right message for the customer at the right time is a challenge. It takes work to get it done. It takes planning. It takes some skill that has to be developed. And you know, that's an effort. It's an expense. It's a time suck sometimes. It's mm-hmm. one that I think is worth it, but there's a lot to that.
So I want to stick on this topic then just for just a moment longer, even though we discussed some of the automated video solutions earlier, and, you know, look at a couple of different approaches for scaling. So some e-commerce sites have been really successful scaling their video by using user-generated video. Other e-commerce sites are beginning to use sort of production automation software. So they're still taking real videos with a real person, you know, that's in the shot talking about the product. These are product videos only. To scale their library. And then you kind of have this third solution, which is more of like the automated taking metadata from your website into like a mini presentation. If you look at those three options, do you think that each one of them is a piece to the puzzle, or do you think that one is the answer for everything, or do you feel like one of them just or more don't have any place in e-commerce?
Well, I think they're all a little different. You know, if we go to the user-generated, you know, that's more like customer reviews, but maybe an easier way to read or engage with customer reviews. And I think that's great. I don't think that's necessarily a replacement for a brand, you know, our brand or whatever brand-produced video that's giving you key selling points about the product. I think those are not... they're not the same thing, number one. So I think user-generated video is great. We don't do that today, but I think it's cool. And, that, you know, if we could get more of that, I think it's great. The more we can get our customers engaged in our site and engaged with other customers is great. Love that. Mm-hmm. The automated videos, as far as the automated post-production, I think is what you're talking about. I think those are good, too. We haven't really experimented with that too much. Could be some good possibilities there. Depending on how we do it, you know, if it's we've got a buyer sitting at her desk with a webcam mm-hmm. and talking about the product, I think that might be okay. But I think we do get some good benefit from having our video specialist who comes prepared and comes with, you know, giving people bullet points to make sure that they've got a good, you know, kind of flow to the video and it's engaging and interesting.
Right.
I saw something a long time ago, and you probably know this better than me, but I don't know if this is true still, but where it talked about what's the most effective kind of level of production value for videos
right.
on retail sites. And as I recall, mm-hmm. what it said was really well-produced ones and really poorly produced ones didn't do that well. It was the ones that were kind of in the middle that did the mm-hmm. best. And,
yeah.
You know, that makes some sense to me. Maybe there's a level of credibility and realness there. If it's just someone sitting at their desk with a webcam, I wonder if we start to fall into the too poorly produced, not well enough flow. But I don't know. That's something we're going to test and play around with. And then that's the same with the fully automated that we talked about earlier. I want to test that, too, and see. Maybe those do work really well. So don't have any data on that yet, but I'll test anything.
as a good direct marketer should. On this topic of user-generated video, it's not a practice that I see really widely adopted in the e-commerce space right now. What do you think? I mean, we've seen, you know, people try to do video contests. We've seen people, you know, have an option where you can submit a rating or review, and there's a video option there. And we just really haven't seen it take off. Do you think that there is some kind of magic formula to help source more user-generated videos? Is there some crazy idea out there that no one has thought of yet? Or we just don't know at this point?
I don't know. I think, you know, that you're asking more of the customer to do that. They've got to have the technical skills to do it or be comfortable or confident in the technical skills to do it, number one. Number two, they got to be comfortable to be on video on a public website, you know, and we run into that
right.
problem just with our own staff here. There's some people who are highly knowledgeable that don't want to be on video. And
right.
so, I'm sure that's the case with customers, too. Customers who would be perfectly willing to write a review will not be willing to, you know, stick their face on a camera and be out in public. So I think that's always going to be a bit of a barrier as well.
Great. Okay. Well, I guess the last question that I have for you before we wrap is, you know, if you were to meet a mid-sized to large retailer who's either considering getting into video or had a video program but maybe was a nascent video program and is looking for a way to really blow it out, you know, what would be the one thing that you think you would share as they began their journey? What would be the one piece of advice that you would give?
You know, I think getting a good, solid video specialist who really knows what he or she is doing And, you know, we talk about this, our guy Tom here, you know, he is, you know, a visual storyteller. And he really understands the concept of a story. And even in a 1 minute video, he can come up with a three act story. And that's right, I go back to what I was talking about earlier about a decently produced video. Mm-hmm. He understands how this, it's gotta have a bit of a story arc to be interesting and entertaining. And I think that's an invaluable skill. That's, you know, anyone can stand behind a camera and press the record button. But for someone to be able to really understand what it takes for, you know, humans to hear a story and understand a story and be engaged in a story, even if that story is 1 minute long and about a shoe, you know, is important. And so I would, I'd put a lot of priority on that. That type of person is critical.
Great. Well, thank you so very much. We are out of time now, so I did want to just share a quick contact slide. If you'd like to get in touch with LiveClicker, you can email sales@liveclicker.com. If you'd like to follow me, I'm at VideoCommerce, and LiveClicker is at LiveClicker. And Kevin, do you have a Twitter handle as well that you'd like to share with our audience?
I do. It's at Kevin Ertel.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. We really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and expertise with this group. I guess thank you, everyone, very much, and have a wonderful day.
Great. Thank you so much, Justin and Kevin. That was a great presentation. I thought there was a lot of great information that was shared. So on behalf of Retail Online Integration Magazine, I'd like to thank you both, and also I want to thank the audience for attending the session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during the presentation, we encourage you to visit the Networking Lounge if you're listening to it on the live day, to chat live with our other session attendees. And you can also visit the info booth to fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. And again, if you're listening to the this presentation during the live day, check out the agenda for the rest of the day, because we have several wonderful sessions still lined up, and encourage you to view as many as you can. And remember, if you can't view them live, you can add them to your briefcases and view them at your convenience in our on-demand environment. Have a great day, everybody.